This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two as we continue on a Tuesday. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We'll also talk Pittsburgh Steelers and what is going on in terms of like Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin as the team is struggling right now. Look, no one really thought that the Steelers were going to be in contention in a division that had Baltimore and Cleveland playing really well. But it is, you know, it is watching in the end of an era in Pittsburgh. Andrew Filippone will join us from 93.7 The Fan. We'll talk Pittsburgh. Again, we're going to be looking for a new quarterback down the road. But it has been a good 15-year stretch for Roethlisberger and the Steelers. But it is painful to watch sometimes it come to an end. Well, painful depending on your point of view. But also, too, it just goes to that whole part of the NFL where there's some teams that are on the closing end, one-time dynasties or one-time teams that were always relevant in the conversation, not being relevant anymore. We're seeing that with the Patriots. Now we're seeing it with the Steelers, the Broncos with Peyton Manning having gone to the playoffs since. And now, you know, you're seeing Kansas City finding their quarterback and making the playoffs. Cleveland finding their quarterback, now starting to make some playoff runs. And that is the nature of this business. It's just the way the way the league goes. I'd be curious to where the Steelers will find their quarterback. I mean, do they have to go, you know, in the top five in the draft in order to find that guy, or can they find an equivalent to a Dak Prescott, the guy that comes in the fourth round, or somebody that they can pick up late that all of a sudden turns into something as a young quarterback? But I don't know how much pressure is on Mike Tomlin. We'll talk to Andrew about this in terms of him needing to turn this around, or is it just simply fate? This is just the way the wheels go in this league. I'll be curious as we continue on the show today. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. And more thoughts on the Major League Baseball playoffs, which the Yankees and the Red Sox will compete for tonight, and then the Cardinals and the Dodgers will compete for on Wednesday. The right to get into the American League and National League Divisional Series. The winner of tonight's game will face Tampa Bay, and the winner of the Cardinals-Dodgers game will take on the Giants. We'll continue that conversation as we roll with hour two. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, and the dumb time. Happy Tuesday to you. You know what? You might be feeling good about going into the baseball postseason, but this is going to make you feel even better. The good of the day.
Well, it was actually the good of Sunday that we're going to highlight today.
Okay.
Because I don't know if you realize this, Tony. I missed it. But Sunday's slate of Major League Baseball games,
yes,
marked the end to runner on second to start the extra
innings. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's all she wrote with that experiment.
It will not be used during this postseason and will not be coming back for 2022.
I'm really glad for that. I never liked it.
I
just felt it was weird. It was like home run derby or, you know, just, I don't know. It was just weird.
Yeah.
So I think it was like for pitchers, it must've drove them crazy. Like, that's not my runner. Like I gotta come out and defend this.
I don't remember
coming out to a clean slate. I got a runner on second already.
One of my son's pitching coaches, who's, you know, trying to make the Nationals.
Right.
He gave him some advice. Like, if you came in with the bases loaded, he would look at it and go, those aren't my guys.
Yeah.
So that's not. I'm just going to worry about the guys in front of me. I'm not going to worry about the guys that are on the base right now.
That's a good way to look at
it. On the bags.
So, yeah, good. Oh, I'm glad.
The national nightmare is over.
I mean, I get it. I understood why they tried to wrap this up and get this rolling because of COVID and all that. Like, we don't want to be here for 26 innings, you know, whatnot. But I didn't like it. I thought it was weird. Seven-inning doubleheaders I liked.
I do like that.
I like that.
So if they want to bring that back, my only caveat to that is make it count as a complete game.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
So if you have someone who throws a no-hitter in seven innings.
Madison Bumgarner.
That should count.
Yeah, I agree.
That should count because it wasn't his fault that, you know, the game was over.
And I think, too, I think the players liked it. And I think if you can add some double headers into the schedule and give them a little bit more days off, I think it works out better for everybody. Like, if you can just go, hey, we'll play, you know, we'll get a doubleheader on a Wednesday. Hey, a day-night doubleheader, 2 7-inning games. And then we'll give you Thursday off so you don't have to travel and land and start a 4-game series in Miami. Whatever it is. I think it works out good. Saturdays, too. Doubleheaders on Saturdays, these work out fine.
Yeah. So,
all right, what's the bat of the day, then?
This one's obvious, isn't it?
Go ahead.
Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. Bunch of other companies that are under the Facebook umbrella all went down yesterday, crashed for, I think, roughly about 6 hours.
What was the reason behind it?
Well, we don't know.
Nobody knows.
And this is where it becomes bad, okay? Facebook is saying that it's blaming it on a faulty configuration change. So they were changing something up I don't speak computer lingo, but changing something in the configuration of how these apps are ran, and it shut everything down. Like somebody put in X instead of Y, and everything just went kaputs.
Ah, very good.
Now, this is where it becomes bad, because now Q conspiracy theorists, okay?
Right.
On Sunday, on 60 Minutes, I can't remember her name, but there was a whistleblower. She used to be one of, like, I'm not a board member, but one of the higher ups in Facebook, is detailing all the different nuances of Facebook's inner workings and you know, how they put literally profit over everything else they've always claimed to uphold.
Facebook?
Yeah.
What did they uphold? What was?
Well, they were saying, you know, they were, you know, how they, like, were monitoring and, like, doing, you know, like, they would cancel accounts, or, you know, they were making sure that everyone is being truthful or stuff like that, you know. But at the end of the day, they would put profit over that. The other big one, was.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, when you create this sort of, hey, post pictures of your kids
and brag about your life. That.
I didn't think there was a higher moral calling that they said, well, the reason we're doing this is so for this reason.
And then the other thing was, I guess, you know, with Instagram, I think it's marketing to a younger generation, even though, you know, they have done internal studies saying how horrible this is, especially for, like, 13-year-old girls.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Right?
It's atrocious.
But, you know, they would say, hey, it's horrible. It's like Philip Morris. You know, Philip Morris backs all the anti-smoking ads while pushing cigarettes.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
So they kind of did that, but that a whistleblower who had, like, 600 emails or 6,000, I don't know, it was an obscene amount of emails that she had copied and printed off and gave to a newspaper to run. She came forward and did an interview on 60 Minutes. She's actually being interviewed by Congress today.
Okay, I'm sort of losing. What was her overall
point? I don't know what her overall point is. I don't know what her end game is. But where I'm coming at is that the conspiracy theorists are saying, hey, she was on 60 Minutes on Sunday. All those apps go down on Monday.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so that's the connection.
Yeah, are they cleaning stuff up real quick?
Gotcha. Makes sense. All right.
But
all right.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really make sense. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know about any of this. You know what I will say? I go back to I know I have a daughter who does that stuff, and we really have to monitor that so carefully.
Yeah.
It really does drive you crazy. It is a real plague on the kids, because it's insane what we have to go through sometimes with what my daughter has gone through over the years. And you want to just stop it, but you can't, and you try. And I know I should be harder on it, but it's not healthy. It really is not healthy. And they're all designed to be addictive, right? I mean, I remember once my daughter was saying something about some streak she had to continue. I'm like, you don't have to continue anything. Like, there's nobody coming into the house. You don't have to do any of that. That's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. But you know what it is, too? I don't know. It's every generation goes through this where, you know, what you don't gravitate to what your parents have. You gravitate to what you have, right? So my kids, and your kids, they live in a world of their own stuff, right? They don't live in a world of our stuff, right? Like, you know when you buy those, you know, my wife got me a retro Atari 2600 thing, and I loved it. I was playing all the old Atari games. My kids looked at it like I was crazy. They're like, those aren't fun. That's
one
not, how
button.
Is that fun? They're like, that's boring. And I go, of course it's boring. This isn't your thing, right? But this is my thing. And that's kind of the separation where I grew up without that stuff. She's growing up with that stuff. And it's like hard to sort of pull her away from it. But yeah, I don't know. Like to me, it was just down and then it came back on again, you know? So I don't know what the reason behind it was.
Yeah. Well, it was 6 hours worth. I just laughed at the whole thing. Twitter did it best. Twitter sent out a tweet once, you know, became really known that these apps are down. Twitter just tweeted out, hello, literally everyone.
Oh, how funny. How funny. What except are anybody who has anti-COVID beliefs.
Right.
We've already banned you. We've already told you to go away.
Yep.
You anti-vaxxers. You can't come on this platform and play. That's funny. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, what'd Nick Cannon do?
Nick Cannon has announced that he is gone celibate for the rest of 2021.
Why?
Yeah. Well, he's had four kids with three different women all this year.
That's amazing.
so he's
just
like,
went, I can't.
He's like, I've talked to my therapist, and they he recommended that this might be the best thing for me to do for the rest of 2021, just be celibate.
Oh, God.
You know what? That's it.
Can I? All right. What level of narcissism do you have where you feel like that is something I'm publicly now telling people?
Right. I mean, I guess
like
maybe
what
he thought
level,
it was funny or a joke.
Maybe. So again, that caveat I got. But imagine living in a world where you feel like everything has to be told to your people. Like your audience,
yeah,
your people that, like, you can't just keep anything private because, you know, here's the thing, Nick Cannon, you can be celibate for the rest of the year and none of us have to know about it. It's not something that requires participation from the studio audience. You don't have to say a word. You could just go home every night and watch Hulu. Right? Like, that's what you can do. And no one will be wiser.
And, you know, here's the other issue. Being celibate wasn't the issue. The issue is you having, you know, four kids with three different women.
Right.
You know, there's ways to prevent that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just saying. I feel like OJ now. I'm just saying. I mean, it's just, and I'm glad he's announcing it in October where there's 2 months left, you know, of.
Oh, of
2021,
course, right?
3 months left in 2021.
Exactly. What are we supposed to do? Now celebrate on January 1st? Oh, I guess Nick Cannon is having fun tonight.
Yep. My fun lasted all the way through September. Now,
nearly 3 months.
I will stop what I'm doing.
Wow. That's great. All right. way to go, Nick Cannon. All right. That's the good. Wasn't he married to Mariah Carey?
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't get how you get to the point of having four kids with three different women in a year.
I don't either.
Like, that happened all in 2021.
Oh, my God.
All four kids were delivered. You think
the first one, you'd go, okay. The second one, you'd go, all right. The third one, I don't know. Maybe I would go public.
Three different women.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
God, I just hope they know about each other.
I guess we'll set our calendars, Nick Cannon, for January 1st when you can get back to the business.
Yep. Well, New Year's Eve can't come fast enough for Nick.
That's right. Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. When that ball drops in New York City, Nick Cannon.
Won't be the only ball dropping.
Hey, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, we'll continue. Andrew Filipponi will join us in about 17 minutes. We'll talk Steelers with him. So continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, Here's Tony D.
All right, we need auto parts. O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Andrew Filippone will join us from The Fan in Pittsburgh. We'll talk Steelers. Urban Meyer, there are calls for Urban Meyer to be fired over this issue we talked about yesterday in The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, where he was at an event and people tried to get him on the dance floor and there was a flirtatious look. Apparently the story is that it was at his restaurant and he went to his restaurant that he owns and there was a party there, Urban Meyer's Pint House. And he was there on Friday, did not travel back with the team to Jacksonville, instead went to go visit his grandchildren, went to his restaurant, Urban Meyer's Pint House. There was a party. People wanted to take their photo with him. He said, sure, why not? And things kind of escalated from there. He apologized. And people are like, oh, this is awful. He should be fired. I don't think Shad Khan is going to fire him for this. I think whatever the reason you hired Urban Meyer to be, I don't think four games into the NFL season makes you want to part ways with them over something like this. I think you still want to see Urban Meyer play out in the NFL for as long as possible. But I think more people, like, if Urban Meyer was, okay, if Urban Meyer, let's play Fantasyland football here. If Urban Meyer was 4-0 and the Jags were the surprise team of the league, would anybody be calling for Urban Meyer to be fired over this?
No, but you know what this sounds like?
What?
This sounds like people are giving him an out clause now. He can go join USC.
I don't think people are being that kind. I don't think the people that are calling for him to be fired are so excited that he'll go to USC. I think it is people. We've asked this to a couple of people, right, throughout, which is, what is it with this guy that, you know, he's 0-4, but when they were 0-3, 0-2, whatever it was, like, Robert Saleh didn't have to go through this. You know, other coaches, Arthur Smith didn't go through this. Like, why Urban Meyer? And it's because of the pompousness of some of Urban Meyer's past, right? Leaving jobs for health reasons. It really is.
That's all it is.
That really is what it is. So what it is you're piling along stuff, right? Urban Meyer, it was kind of insulting when you really look back on it. It was kind of insulting that he brought Tim Tebow in to compete for a tight end job in the NFL. I really, like, when you really look at it now, it was a waste of time. It was a waste of time for everybody. Everyone knew, you know, this is the best players at the position that they play. That kid, he's 34. That guy should not have been invited to play a position he's never played before because he was a good dude.
Yeah.
Like, that was silly. It was ridiculous.
And what proved that, too, was you cut him on the first day.
You cut him the second you made cuts. And so it was insulting. Like, if I was a legitimate tight end, like, I have a resume in the NFL, and I'm playing on the Jaguars, and I'm in a meeting room with that guy. I don't care if I like him. I don't care if he's a good dude. I don't care if he's got good morals. I don't care if he's a hard worker. There's a level where you go, come on, this, you know, what are we doing here? Why is he here? We got five guys in this room that are vying for a couple of roster spots, and we're competing with him. He's never played the position ever. And this is on you, coach, because it's not his fault. He took the opportunity you gave him. So you add that to some of the other things that he did where he didn't understand the league protocol. He didn't understand the collective bargaining agreement. The fact that he's left two jobs for health reasons only to get right back into the swing of things doing something else just as stressful. When he said stress was the reason why he had to cut these things short. You add on, people still didn't like what he did, what happened at Ohio State when he defended that coach that got into some domestic violence trouble in his house. You add all of this up, and then this one incident, which, look, the only reason it looks bad is that he's a 57-year-old married man, and that's really between him and his wife. He didn't do, he wasn't caught saying something awful, or he was dancing with some younger women, but he wasn't dancing with 15-year-olds.
No.
Right?
Like,
let's not pretend he was going after. Yeah, they were of age. They were adults. They were just younger than him. This is between him and his wife. But the reason people are calling him to be fired is all of the baggage that came beyond that. 0-4. He's kind of lied many times in the past. And this was just like the icing on the cake for all of it. But I don't think he's...
Now, does he use this as an excuse?
To go to USC?
Well, I'm not saying to go to USC, just to get out of the game. Like, could you see him coming forward and saying, you know what, in light of recent situations that have happened, I need to step away to work on my family?
Let's boil down this to something that I don't think has really been dissected. Urban Meyer, to my recollection, and I don't know his early life, right? Early coaching career, but let's just call it Bowling Green to Utah to Florida to Ohio State to Jacksonville. He's never been fired from a job. He's left. So I can understand where Urban is nervous about this really not working out, and he is fired from this, right? He doesn't want to be fired from this. He's Urban Meyer, for crying out loud. And if it keeps going like this, he's going to be fired. They're going to part ways with him. And I don't think he wants that. So I could see, we're not going to cast him as a failure going 0-4 with a rookie quarterback. Of course not. But in Urban's mind, does he go, in college football, I could be canned for this. If I went 0-4 at Ohio State to start the season, I'd be canned for this. So in his mind, where he really, I may understand the different dynamics of the National Football League, but he's not accustomed, and he just starts getting internal panic where he goes, yeah, you know what? If we're 0-8 or I go 0-10 or I'm 0-11 or I'm 0-13 and I'm really a failure at this, then I'm going to get canned. And I don't want to get canned. I've done too much. I got a good legacy. I'm not getting canned for this. And I wonder if that plays a part in this. Because the reality is, he should have 2 or 3 years under his belt before we really analyze where he's at. But I don't know how he views this. Right? But again, we're not honest here. For those people out there in the media that are writing the Fire Urban Meyer columns, please do so with the other reasons that you think he should lose his job. He should not lose his job for this. Because I'm sorry to say this. I know we tend to jump on these things. We see a guy, we film in this, but the reality of it is he did go to a bar. He was at his place. I don't know if he was drinking or not, but people were having fun with him. He was having fun back. If him and his wife, that is between him and his wife. But other than that, tell me what he did completely wrong that deserves his removal from an NFL team with professional athletes. If this was a college situation, maybe the president looks at this differently, especially if those were college age kids.
Yeah.
Then you may look at it differently. But he's on a team with grown men who go to strip clubs and do their own thing on their free time.
Yep.
You know what? It may not be the best example to set, but he didn't do something. He didn't do anything wrong. In fact, he didn't do anything wrong. What do I mean wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. That's between, I can't make that judgment. It's between him and his wife. Him and his wife have to deal with
that. That's the only thing that's wrong, right?
I may think it's wrong in my marriage, but maybe in his, she's like, oh, he just flirts with the young girls.
Listen.
He ain't going anywhere.
Just last week, we heard all the reports about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith having an open marriage, and they're allowed to do what they want to do.
Right.
And that's what works for them. I mean, there are marriages that are like that. Wouldn't work in my family.
I know. Wouldn't work with me.
You know, if that was you, you and I would probably have to take a week off and say, yeah, right. It was an impromptu trip to Italy. Well, I had to take my wife.
Exactly. And if there was video of Urban saying something he shouldn't say.
That's different.
At reacting to something he shouldn't react to. All that's completely different. This was, again, he was at his own place and he went too far trying to make some people happy.
Yeah, and then the other thing is this, that she... The women or the girl in this video, she isn't pushing him away. It wasn't like he was groping her. He wasn't,
they asked
being
him to come out.
Predator. I mean, she was, you could tell, I mean, from the video, she was kind of enjoying it as well.
It's just that the people who want him fired, you really want him fired for other reasons than this. This is just,
I think the you just thing want the that chaos.
Yeah, exactly. This is the thing now you can write the Fire Urban Meyer column. You're welcome.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 1-3. They've lost three straight. They got the Broncos coming up this weekend. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Andrew Filippone joins us, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, to talk about not only this team, but where they may be heading in the future. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. Let's go back to last season when they started 11-0. For those who just sort of went, oh, look at the Steelers, they're going 11-0, but you watched every game and every minute. Was there any point of that 11-game win streak where you went, there's something happening here that's not good? This is fun, they're winning, but something is occurring with this team.
Yeah, they became too predictable offensively. I mean, they got to a point where they were so pass happy, they were pass obsessed. They had Roethlisberger coming off of reconstructive elbow surgery, throwing the ball 45 times, 50 times a game. And it was because they couldn't run block, and they didn't have quality running backs either. I mean, they became a one-dimensional team. I think Roethlisberger's preference is to throw the ball a lot anyways. And so they became way too pass involved. That's all they did. And the defenses caught up to it. They didn't even respect the run. They also just did the short passing game. They didn't beat teams deep. And so defenses knew when they played the Steelers exactly how Roethlisberger was going to attack him. He was going to get the ball out fast, and he was going to throw it on every play. And that happened when they were like 8-0, 9-0. And so the writing was on the wall. They needed to adapt. They needed to evolve last year. They never really did. Roethlisberger ran out of gas at the end of the year, and that's why he lost four out of his last five starts, and the Steelers got blown out in the playoffs by the Browns.
Is there a sense of the same thing happening in 2021?
There's not a sense. There's an understanding in the reality that it is the same thing and that nothing's changed. The coordinator's changed. The offensive line is brand new. There's a first-round running back here, but it's the same exact offense. And the game script, the game plot is the same as last year, where they dig themselves massive holes. They get down in games, and they put up a bunch of empty stats or hollow statistics late in games by beating up on prevent defenses that make the quarterback's performance and the offense's performance at large look better. Now, this year they still haven't scored more than 25 points in a game, so they've been, you know, right there with Jacksonville is probably the least productive offense in the entire NFL. But, yeah, it's deja vu for Steelers fans, and it's mainly because the Steelers made the organizational decision to bring back a 39-year-old quarterback who really can't do the things he used to do.
And it's hard to say goodbye to a guy that's given you so much, but how did it go this summer? How was that perceived by the fans in the city? Because, again, you know, all the things that they've gotten, but Father Time is unbeaten for a reason, and this was bound to happen eventually.
Well, the fans were loyal to Roethlisberger. Most of them were anyways, because he's never produced a losing season. He's won two Super Bowls. He's been to three. So I get fans who looked at the situation and did it illogically. They wanted to render a decision on Ben's future with their heart. But those fans aren't paid to make hard decisions. They're paid to root and to cheer and to, you know, hope for things to happen. The Steelers, on the other hand, are tasked with putting a winning football team out there. And they deserve, in my opinion, no credit or no pass for allowing Ben to come back for another year. You know, I don't blame Ben for wanting to continue his career. I don't blame any player. I don't begrudge any player who wants to keep playing and earning money. I have a hard time with the team that said, okay, Ben, we'll do it. And yeah, they made him take a small pay cut. And so, you know, in that respect, the optics of the move looked better, that he was taking less, and you know, it helped bail them out of a bad cap situation too, but they should have read the writing on the wall, watched the way that Roethlisberger played at the end of last year, looked at that objectively, and, you know, concluded that is the real Ben Roethlisberger, that it's not going in the other direction. Very few players get better at 39 years old. This guy's not Tom Brady. He hasn't kept himself in the same physical condition. He's been hit way more than Brady. the attrition has set in on him more than it has Brady, and they should have turned the page to another quarterback in 2022. But the team was beholden to a guy who had, you know, produced a lot of winning here but could no longer get it done.
Do they feel that anybody right now on the roster is going to be the next franchise quarterback? Is Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, anybody? Because if the answer is no, was there ever a point in the draft where they were going to pull what Green Bay did, which is say, Ben, you might be our guy for 2 years, but we're not turning this guy down at this point in the draft?
Yeah, I think it would have been interesting, Tony, if Justin Fields continued to slide, because I know that Tomlin was at his pro day. I happen to know that he was fond of Fields. Now, clearly he wasn't so in love with them that they were willing to forfeit and sacrifice future draft picks. And the reason why they weren't willing to do that is because they stupidly had a lot invested in 2021. When they decided to bring Ben back, they were treating this year like they needed to win it. And they want to send Ben out with a happier ending than getting blown out at home by the Browns in the playoffs, which we all know now it's not going to happen. It's going to have a much uglier ending than even that. I think they're very split on the two quarterbacks you mentioned. I think there are still, believe it or not, some people within the organization who think that Mason Rudolph can be a starting quarterback in this league, and that if you have a situation like, I don't know, the one the Steelers will potentially face this Sunday, where you have a team that's a complete team like the Broncos, and then you have a game manager quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, you can win. I think that's the best case scenario for Mason Rudolph as the Steelers quarterback. And there are some in the organization that want to at least try that. I don't think, you know, I would give him starts this year, Tony. I would not bring him back next year as a starter unless he shocked me and wowed me, which I don't anticipate he'll do. And then as far as Haskins goes, you know, I think Tomlin thinks there's something there. I think he feels like there's potential. I think Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, believes that it was Washington that ruined Haskins and not the other way around, that Haskins is not guilt-free or isn't culpable at all. But if we're going to play the blame game, it falls mostly on the way Washington handled him more than anything else. So I think they'd like to see what they have in Haskins. But I also think it's another situation where with him, they don't want to put all their eggs in one basket, and their preference would be to let him redshirt the entire year and then go through a whole training camp and preseason next year and see what kind of player he is at that point.
As far as this season goes, I get wanting to get Ben out on something positive, but what if it keeps going like this? I mean, I know it's two different sports, but if you have an aging superstar in baseball, do you just let him bat second because he bats second? Like, eventually you got to make a decision for the franchise. Do they just keep bringing Ben out and they just lose games where they just can't be competitive?
Well, you know, they have been so adamantly opposed to any kind of rebuilding or quote unquote tanking scenario. They didn't ascribe to that when Ben got injured a couple of years ago. They traded a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick to try to, you know, keep themselves above water. So it would be a departure and a break from what they've done previously. However, I think at some point soon, very soon, my instinct would be that Ben will play again on Sunday against the Broncos. Then I think from there it really should be up in the air. If he struggles and they lose and they drop to 1-4, me personally, I would play Rudolph against Seattle and then give him a bye week to get ready for going back to Cleveland, where he had that nightmarish game a couple of years ago with Myles Garrett, just to prepare him and give him some, you know, give him some on-field reps before he goes into that game. Because I think at some point with Ben, you gotta concede that it's not going to get any better for him. You know, he got worse as the season went on last year. He was terrific in September of 2020 and awful in December. I think that his body breaks down, and I see no reason to think this year that it's not going to go the same route, the same direction. So I would not want to waste 2021 and leave Rudolph and Haskins on the bench the entire year, especially if Ben's not playing well and you could make the reasonable opinion that they might actually be better off or just as bad with one of the backup quarterbacks in.
It's really interesting with this franchise because you can go back and look at other teams, and I'm talking really long game here, where you find moments in their history where they went 2-14 and they started a little bit of a rebuild here or there. The Steelers never do this. They never go 2-14.
No.
They never go 3-13. They never have that year where it all falls apart. And I'm not talking Ben, Tommy Maddox, Bubby Brister, you know, Mark Malone, Cliff Stout. They never do that. Is that a blessing or is it a curse?
Well, you know, I think the organization treats that like a badge of honor.
Sure.
You know, that they've got the best winning percentage since the merger. I think that given the way teams go worst to first in the NFL and you treat each year like a new beginning and it's not like baseball where there are farm systems and 162 games and things like that, I think they try to win every year. Now, this year is unique and it's strange because they bring Ben back, but they didn't spend to the cap, which is odd. Given how bad their offensive line is, they're only spending $12 million on offensive linemen. It's the least amount of money spent on a line in the entire league, which makes no sense given how immobile your quarterback is. But anyways, like, you know, they last time they finished in last place was 1988. Their last losing season was the year before Ben showed up in 2003. You know, if they have a 6-10 type of year, they could conceivably, or 6-11, I guess, they could conceivably take a quarterback in the first round. Now, they might have to move up the draft board a little bit, but they would at least be in position where they could take their next franchise quarterback. Now, me personally, I don't think right now, in all seriousness, there are people within that organization who think their best option is to see what happens with Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
Mm.
They won't come out. No, I mean, obviously no one will publicly come out and say that, and no one will leak that to like a Schefter or a Lockenfora or anybody like that, especially when we're this early in the season and Ben's still playing. But I do believe that when the year is over, if something hasn't changed, if Ben continues to play this poorly and Rudolph or Haskins show no signs of being a franchise quarterback, and I don't really think they will, I believe they will do what they can to convince Aaron Rodgers to come and play here next year.
Interesting stuff. That is great. Andrew, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. We're going to stay in touch with you.
You bet, Tony.
Really appreciate it. Thank
you,
man. Andrew Filippone on our Progressive Guest Line, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Very interesting bit of nugget that he dropped right at the end of that interview. A Progressive quote, buy and save on your home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Dissect that when we can return on a wake-up call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life, Rocket can. Thanks to Andrew Filippone of The Fan. A little Aaron Rodgers nugget at the end there. I've heard this. He likes Mike Tomlin. Of course, Mike Tomlin likes him. What, do you want to go to Pittsburgh, though? Do you want to play for the Steelers? Does he think they're an Aaron Rodgers away from winning a Super Bowl? I don't know. That Denver defense is really good. The Steelers defense is really good. But I don't know. Maybe he looks at the landscape. But that's a tough division.
But
the AFC
offense,
West is a tough division, too. So
yeah, but the Steelers offense, is that better than, you know, say, even Packers offense?
That's right. What's the goal? Like, for Aaron Rodgers, what do you want?
Right.
Like, what do you want? Do you want what Tom Brady has? Remember, Tom Brady didn't throw a dart at the board and pick the Buccaneers. There was a good strategic plan of taking a team that was really loaded and giving them an opportunity to be competitive, right? I mean, what does Aaron Rodgers want out of this? Does he want a Super Bowl? I don't know if he wins it in Pittsburgh with that current team. Again, I think the defense is great. I think the Steelers' defense is going to keep them in games that they shouldn't be in. But the offensive line, as you mentioned, is new. You got guys that might be leaving in the offseason. Now, they might stay if Aaron Rodgers is coming, of course, but...
But you if you're Aaron, why would you want to go from the NFC North to the AFC North? Wouldn't you want to, like, say, you know what, guys, I'm so sick and tired of this weather. Take me down south. Take me out west. I want just, you know, I want sunshine. I want to go back. I can see him going back to San Francisco, even though that they have Garoppolo and Trey Lance. I don't think they're going to have Garoppolo after the season. But even though they have Trey Lance, I can see Aaron going, nah, I'm going to play there.
Think about Brady, though. Think about Brady deciding to go to Tampa Bay. Brady didn't think he was going to be one and done there. He knew he was going to play there for a couple of years. But what did he do? What was the long game in that division? Drew Brees was seconds away from retiring, right? Any moment now. So that was going to get rid of him. And then you got Matt Ryan, who could be a threat, probably not.
You've already
he's
beat
leaving
him once.
Too, right? He's good through. Who knows? Carolina is going through a rebuilding stage. That division is ripe for the taking. This division is not. Baker Mayfield and the Browns should be a threat for years to come. Lamar Jackson, years to come. Joe Burrow might have the Bengals a threat in that division. That's a tough haul. I wouldn't want to go through that. We talked about this with the Denver rumor. Why would he want to go play against Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes twice a year?
Yeah.
Right? And whatever the Raiders might put. We didn't know Derek Carr had a long-term future. We do know now, but at the time we didn't.
So basically by that rationale, the AFC South is what's in it for him.
And real quick, when I asked him the question about, you know, blessing or a curse about not having a losing season. It's a blessing because you're always competitive. That's true. But it's a curse. When you look at San Francisco, right? When San Francisco had a good team, went to the Super Bowl, but then had a lousy team filled with, who'd they get out of the deal, right? Who did they get out of the deal? They got Nick Bosa out of the deal, right? Andrew Luck, that one season that Peyton Manning was out, they got a franchise quarterback. Sometimes you can be a good team and have a terrible year where everything falls apart and you go, and then you're next year you're picking top five. Steelers never do that.